I want to welcome Martin Sexton to Talkin' Music, and Martin will be appearing at the Paradise Theater here in Paonia on November 16th, so you've got time to get those tickets. I highly advise that you be there. It's a real honor to have you here, Martin. Where are you right now?
Right now, I am in home here in the western part of Massachusetts.
All right.
Just sort of surveying our yard after the big storm.
Oh, my gosh.
We made it pretty unscathed. I see the news, and it looks like we are very fortunate compared to most.
It never occurred to me that you would be in the midst of that.
Yeah, because I'm on tour, but I'm off on a two-week break right now before I see you guys.
And then you start up again about November 7th, is that right?
Salt Lake City? Yeah, Salt Lake City is the first one.
Yeah,
brings us out to California and down around the southwest and up towards you guys.
You know, as I was looking over your website and doing some research for this, it seems to me that you have a pretty solid urban following. And I'm wondering if venturing out into western Colorado, for instance, is a switch for you. How did Paonia even get on your tour list?
It's right smack dab between the Orpheum Theater in Flagstaff and the Boulder Theater in Boulder.
So it just
to
makes
be
sense.
Mathematically correct about it.
and
I'm no stranger to those mountains. I always love going out. And, you know, if I'm hitting Denver at say the Ogden or the Boulder Theater or taping a show for E Town, I always stop in those mountain towns, whether it's Breckenridge or Belly Up in Aspen.
Oh yeah.
Wherever. Yeah, I love Colorado.
Yeah, we love you out here, too. In fact, I was just looking. It seems to me that your live and solo album was recorded in Durango. Is that right?
A couple songs came from that place, yeah.
So I guess you are no stranger to us, and we're just glad that you're going to be out here.
Cool.
Want to talk a little bit about your background, and I realize that a lot of this is old hat to you, but I don't know how many of our listeners really know that much about you. So... You grew up in a very large family in Syracuse, right? Ten of 12?
10 of 12 kids, yeah. Irish Catholic all the way.
Irish Catholic all the way. And I have to imagine that perhaps part of the performer in you springs from needing to kind of differentiate yourself in such a large crowd of kids. Would that be the case?
Oh, I would imagine so, most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, being 10 of 12 is, you know, things like attention are very precious. So I would do just about anything as a little kid, you know, usually with something quite naughty indeed.
I was going to ask you.
Attention, and then later, you know, breaking out into the Stevie Wonder tunes in the schoolyard until the nuns would come and break it all up. That was my first sort of taste of performance was a schoolboy, you know, singing those tunes in the schoolyard.
Doing Stevie Wonder for the posse in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And where did the actual guitar playing and singing and stuff take over? I mean, when did you really know that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, the first time was in the bathtub as a 10-year-old singing. And then it became more realistic. Basically, when I was fired from my last job and was sort of forced to go in the subways and streets of Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, where I was sort of at the Martin Sexton that you know now, I was sort of born there. That's where the singer-songwriter was born. You know, before that, it was sort of a mullet-wearing, you know, a pop-singing guy with a rock and roll background.
And were you playing clubs and stuff, or I mean, were you doing something different entirely and just playing to amuse yourself? Or, I mean, I have to wonder what made you get up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to take my guitar down to Harvard Square and I'm going to play, and that's going to be what I do. I'm throwing my weight behind that.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I was blessed with the gift of desperation. I really didn't have any other alternative plan, and I needed to pay my rent, and I saw other people doing it, and I thought I could do this, and it became my job for a couple of years. The money was good, and it was sort of like going to music school for free. It was performance 101, and you know, I gained some of my first fans back in those days, and they still come today.
Well, and not only that, but you got a cassette out of it, right? That you sold 20,000 copies of out of your guitar case.
Is that It took me a while, but basically from busking and some small gigs back in those days. Spread the word, you know, people bought those cassettes and came out to shows.
So let's hear something from something from the early days of Martin Sexton. This is a studio album, so this is post-busking days, but it's from his first studio album, Black Sheep. We're going to hear the title cut.
Sitting in this lonely town, I wonder when things are gonna change. Dreaming my life away, and it seems in dreams it turned into a bunch of dust clouds. Getting my nerve up, but my past is pulling me down. Wondering how long this black sheep here can stick around. Somebody told me once before, they said that you can never go home again. Once you leave, you'd take anything just to steer me away from the truth of who I am and what I believe. So I thanked them for his 2 cents with a shake and some sympathy. Packed up my blue jeans and I headed for the big pie. I'm afraid I'm so bye-bye, black sheep of the family. Bye-bye, black sheep, how that means so much to me. Bye-bye to my friends and my family. Bye-bye, black sheep, gonna set my soul, set it free, free. Times they were a-changing, I did just little rearrange. Take a couple chances. My progress in advances to that prize of my stars. Steel bars never will a prison cell make. Once I find that sweet home, or someplace I like to call home. Some people say I'm crazy, sing out loud, how long I do hear all. The black sheep of the family. Goodbye to my friends. And black sheep, you know you'll always mean so much to me. So my friends, you've been my family. Bye-bye, black sheep. Going off to set my soul.
getting real.
Well, I mean, that's just extraordinary. And now you have your own label.
Yes.
And so you're producing your own music. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's got to be really satisfying.
It totally is, you know, because now basically I took a tip from artists like Ani DeFranco, you know, who basically produced her own records and she started her own label. And she was sort of one of those artists that was sort of a green light for me to try it. And it's been a wonderful thing because I actually sell more records and more tickets and get more, like, music placement, whether it's television or movies, than I ever did on a major label.
That's an extraordinary story, too, because, you know, I've talked to a lot of other musicians who complain bitterly about what is necessary to make it with a major label, and who particularly complain about the quote-unquote death of the CD and
yeah.
the necessity to tour constantly rather than sell CDs. And yet what I've heard you say, I got into that interview that you did with Brian Williams, and who knew Brian Williams had a music blog? But anyway, where you see that social media and new ways of marketing and having your own label as being very liberating rather than a burden. And
oh, for sure. It was a total liberation. I have no horror stories. With Atlantic Records, they were fine, and they, you know, lots of money for marketing, and let me produce my second record and by myself, the record called Wonder Bar. And it was actually a great ride, but I just realized at the end of that second record cycle that I didn't need these big corporate guns to reach the supportive base that I've built, you know, with, you know, radio, like, you know, folks like you guys, and whether it's NPR and open press outlets that, you know, will write about me and play my records, and fans that'll show up from, you know, from Colorado to Australia over to England or Canada or wherever. It's become a great ride.
And it doesn't hurt that you're amazingly talented as well. You know,
well,
I mean, you've got the whole package going for you, and you've obviously learned how to take pleasure in it. I mean, you seem like a very lighthearted person for having as much responsibility for your own career as you have, and maybe
right,
that's
yes.
the secret. Let's play something from one of the Atlantic releases when Martin Sexton was on a major label. The CD's called The American, and we're going to hear Diggin' Me.
How's about a cup? Not coffee, okay tea, that's fine with me. Meet at 8:15, alright, 6:30's fine, just be with me. Any time of day, any place you say, just look like you do. Oh, it's my lucky day, I am here to stay with you. I'm digging me, digging you, digging me, digging you. I'm digging me, digging you, dig. I laid at the thrift store shopping for a gift for you. I could ask you back there behind the rack of shoes. What's that over there? Such a pretty pair. That's us in the blue mirror. Such a vintage view that falls in here with you. I'm digging me, digging you, digging me, digging you. I'm digging me, digging you, dig. All of my life I've been holding on. All of these years I've been waiting so patiently. All of this time I've been holding out only. Flaggy, 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 your father's survey. Flaggy face, flavor face, baby. the ATM on Saturday. You pick out the show, then it's off we go to the matinee. Oh, you be hoogie want, I'll be hoogie want, I'll be your radio tie. Oh, it's my lucky day, I'm happy to stay with you. I'm digging me, digging you, digging me, digging you. I'm digging me, digging me, digging me, digging you. Yeah, yeah. Digging me, digging me, digging you.
Let's talk a little about that, because your politics are just as much a part of your music as the tunes are. Was your social consciousness formed in that large family of yours as well? I have this vision of your parents being Kennedy fans, and you know, I looked at the video for One Voice Together, and there are lots of images from the civil rights era and from the 60s. And was that the foundation for where you are now?
Well, I'm sorry to say that you're way off on that one.
Oh, really?
My father was a tried and true, bona fide right-wing Republican.
Wow.
And my mother was a registered Democrat. It still is a registered Democrat, but very conservative. And my family ranges. We range from, you know, the leftiest gay liberals to the far right rabid Republicans.
Uh-huh.
And I am, of which I am neither. I don't believe in left and right anymore. I don't care if you're gay, straight, old, young, black, white. I'll talk to you. I'll agree with you. I'll disagree with you. And I'll respect you. And I'll recognize you as a human who has a different opinion than mine. And I won't call you names because of it. I'll just say, hey, I disagree.
Well,
you know
no.
what I mean?
Yeah,
I
do.
There's so much name-calling these days just because people disagree on things.
I do understand that. And that explains a lot of your music, because it has a lot of generosity about it. And and that makes sense now in that context. It really does.
Yeah, so, I've lost my sense of left and right. You know, I think we're all brothers and sisters. And as soon as we all learn that, then we are going to be a force to be reckoned with. We're going to be so much harder to manipulate and control and be marketed to and put in these boxes of, you know, all these public opinion polls. It's going to be so much harder to mess with us once we all learn that we're really the same.
I'm really interested in why you released an EP rather mm-hmm. than a full CD this time.
Yeah, well, I've never put out an EP. And I had these tunes recorded, and they were all sort of time-sensitive, too. There's a couple songs that are sort of relevant now. And you know, so many people out of work or underemployed, it just seemed like a good time to put something out that would cost a $5 bill.
Exactly.
So it seems like a lot of good reasons to put out an EP. So there you have it, new music for the price of a soy latte.
I was just going to say that because it is on your website. Mm-hmm. New music for the price of a soy latte. And I love that concept. You know, it's totally affordable. And of course, you know, stations like KVNF are playing it often. It's going to reach mm-hmm. a lot of people. And I applaud you for that. You know, that's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, we've had really great support from radio, whether it's non-commercial, commercial, public, private, whatever. You know, whether it's you know, it's like you guys, or it's a KBCO out of Denver, or it's you know, WFUV out of New York, or XPN out of Philly. There's just been great response, and people. It's a beautiful thing that there still exists radio that can step out of the box and not play what the consultants tell them to play.
We're fighting really hard to preserve that. You know,
mm-hmm.
we
you
feel
know, live radio. It's a beautiful
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, we kind of feel like we're under attack in a lot of ways, but we've got a tremendously dedicated group of folks here who truly, truly believe that we have to preserve that. You know, it is democracy. It really is. I want to wrap this up so that you can move along, but I would you say something about including For What It's Worth on
sure.
Falls Like Rain?
Well, I do believe that we are in the new 60s, and it's time to pull out old tunes and sing them and make them useful again. It's time to sing about change. It's time to act on change. It's time to vote about change. It's time to spend about change. It's time to talk about change, I think. And there's just so much going on in the world that I have been opening my eyes to over the last few years. And it's time for us to lose those divisions. And so I put that cover on Fall Like Rain just for that reason. It's time to stop and say, what's that sound? And for everybody to look, what's going down?
One of my favorites, play the original pretty often. I was really, really jazzed to see it appear on that
EP. I wanted
on
to keep it acoustic, too.
Yeah.
Just to keep it pure and just let the message of the song come through.
Well, I'm wondering what you would tell people about what to expect when they see you live. What is people who've never seen you, what's going to be different about seeing you live than listening to you on CD?
One thing I hear in general from maybe someone who has come to the show for the first time is they're taken aback with the fact that they're surrounded with all these different people. Okay, it's not hippies, it's not ski bums, it's not, lesbians, it's not old folks, it's not college kids, it's kind of everything. And they get freaked out because these people of different walks of life will be singing in like three-part harmony, almost like a choir in a church. And it's like, what is going on here? Why are these people all singing in harmony? And it's a beautiful thing. It's like church, and it's this unifying thing that just brings us together as people. And it doesn't matter where we come from or how much money we have or whether we're, right, left, up, down, you name it. We're singing in harmony, and that's the beauty of music, I think, and that's the duty that I have. I think what I feel is incumbent upon me is to use my art to bring folks together and to unify us. And so that's what you can expect at any one of my shows, whether it's in that beautiful little space up there in Paonia or if it's in Carnegie Hall. That's what you're going to get. I'm like a mailman. Rain, sleet, hail, snow. On with the show, baby.
All right. Well, safe travels until then, Martin.
Okay. Peace and thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Since we've been talking about the new EP, Fall Like Rain, we're going to play something from it. There's a video of this as well at martinsexton.com. I highly recommend it. The cut is One Voice Together.
Mm-hmm. We see the difference in each other. Never see how we're the same. We take up arms against our brother, and no one ever takes the blame. When the man comes in and draws that line between us, will we all just choose a side or just keep quiet? Well, one voice can make a lot of noise, one voice singing out, but a full-blown choir can take the whole thing higher, make the song sound better, singing in one voice together. Sometimes I do not love my neighbor. Sometimes I feel like throwing stones. I'm sure that he'd return the favor, and we'd be left with broken bones. Well, the time has come to set aside our difference. We could sing in harmony and let it be. Make a whole lot of noise, one voice singing out.
no left and right, no red and blue, black and white, that's just me and you.